Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. Yesterday afternoon, nurses organized a peaceful informational picket and awareness event in Bemidji regarding challenges they are facing at Sanford Health in Bemidji. Mary Turner is the president of the Minnesota Nurses Association. She's on the line now to talk with us about it. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
My pleasure, definitely.
Well, lots of support for nurses here in Bemidji yesterday. Can you tell our listeners what the challenges are in Bemidji that the nurses want the public to know about?
I would be happy to. First, I have to clarify what kind of drew me up here to begin with. Mm-hmm. As you say, I'm the president of the whole state, and we actually have members in Wisconsin, Iowa, and also North Dakota. And I had heard that the Sanford Corporation was kind of putting what I would say as a gag order on their nurses in regards to not allowing them to talk about COVID. And that's one reason that Tanya was being disciplined, is that she was trying to fight for the safety of her nurses at the Bemidji Hospital. And so that's what the action was about, was to denounce the whole practice of, and she's not the first one, mind you, across the nation to get into trouble for trying to fight for the safety of healthcare workers and also their patients, because that is the number one duty of a nurse, is to take care and keep safe the patients that they are responsible for. Mm-hmm. But along with that is the desire to keep themselves and their family safe. And from what I understand, she was merely looking into, which a lot of nurses are doing, kind of alternative lodgings, mm-hmm. for like when they have long stretches of work and they don't want to go back to their family until they're sure that they're symptom-free. And she was looking into lodgings for her nurses and inquiring about it, and that's what kind of started the trouble. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this is a definite fear and anxiety producing thing with nurses all over the country, is this fear that they are going to bring back this virus to their family. And especially if they have family members that are immunocompromised, right. You know, if they're taking care of elderly parents. So anyway, I came up here because, and it wasn't just Bemidji, but it was also Thief River, where they are now taking COVID patients from Fargo. And those nurses had a gag order, and I was just furious about this. I just went, this is ridiculous, because they should be able to always advocate for safety for themselves and their patients. Mm-hmm. And so I came up here to say, well, if you can't talk, then I will, mm-hmm. you know. I'll help to get the gag order off, because this isn't right. That's not right.
Right. Are you having some success in getting that lifted, this gag order situation?
Well, I just call it a gag order in the sense that they were intimidating the nurses, right. Trying to tell them that even mentioning that they're going to have potentially COVID patients in the hospital is a HIPAA violation, which is nonsense. Mm-hmm. It'd be no different than saying to a hospital, hey, we deliver babies at our hospital, or we do this or that. HIPAA violation comes into play when you talk about specific patients.
Right.
And so that's what I mean by an inadvertent gag order. The intimidation that they're doing with the nurses is unacceptable.
Right.
And so yesterday's event was so important because, and I know at the end of the event I had Bagley nurses and Thief River nurses and Bemidji nurses all standing together, and they're all Sanford nurses. And I said, now what we need to know, what we need to do from now on, is do everything together in solidarity and as one. You don't let one person take the fall, you know, and one person try to protect everyone. And you do this together, and you don't allow your hospital to stop you from doing what's right. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, is as I speak, I think in the counties up here, the cases are starting to rise. And you're going to be in a situation where, just like down in the cities, if the cases start adding up, they're not going to have enough personal protective equipment. And so the nurses are going to have to speak out for that. and other working conditions. And if they feel like they can't talk at all, they're not going to be able to fight for the safety of their patients. And that's what I kind of told them. I said they owe it to their patients and themselves to stay strong and fight for what they need.
Talking with Mary Turner, she's the president of the Minnesota Nurses Association. You had just mentioned PPE, personal protective equipment. I'm wondering, what is the view from the ground with all of that?
Okay, so personal protective equipment, from the very start, how should I say it, the supply lines of it have been very, very sporadic. There's a great need of it all over the whole country. Governor Waltz, about a month ago, we were expecting a million N95s to come into the state, and they were sidetracked and rerouted somewhere else. Frankly, from a national standpoint, without a Defense Production Act, which is the similar act that they did in World War II, where they all started to make planes and tanks, et cetera, without that kind of an executive order that is demanding that, you know, as many companies as possible try to produce protective equipment, there's not going to be enough. And especially with now the nation opening up and businesses going to be requiring masks and things like that, we need to have a larger scale production of protective equipment. Otherwise, it's states vying for a very limited supply, and it's been an ongoing problem. Every hospital is looking for alternative ways to deal with that. The other issue is up here I'm seeing is that they need to start doing, and we just started a couple weeks ago, where we test down in North Memorial, it's a level one trauma that I work at, in the COVID ICU down there. We just started about a few weeks ago testing everyone that comes into the hospital. They have to be doing that up here, because otherwise what happens is nurses get sick, nurses potentially pass it from one patient to another. And so you have got to be identifying everyone that comes into your hospital. And from what I'm seeing and hearing from the nurses, that is not happening up here. And that's kind of a must. Otherwise, everyone's going to be inadvertently spreading it.
Mm. We're in new territory for sure. And the nurses are right there facing this head on.
We are. I just read in the Trib here that we've had around 22,000 cases in Minnesota, and 2,400 of them are healthcare workers. Right. So, you know, that's over 10% of, you know, probably the highest level, you know, any one profession to contract this disease. And that's significant, because I tell you what, we're a finite resource. Experienced nurses that are able to deal with COVID, we're a finite resource, mm-hmm. and not to be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. The people need us, our patients need us, but our families need us also. And so, once again, we should not be this whole concept of any nurse being disciplined for merely fighting for the safety of their patients and themselves is unacceptable.
How can the public best support our nurses and healthcare workers? What are some things we can do to help them?
Well, you know, ironically enough, it's all the, what is really sad right now is that it seems to be that the whole wearing of masks and social distancing and that kind of stuff has become politicized. And I need to point out to the people listening is to a nurse, when you walk in and we're going to take care of you, we don't see race, creed, color, political persuasion. We don't see any of that. We see a human being that we are going to take care of. And to have something this important now being politicized and becoming a symbol of whatever way you're politically thinking is so scary. It's so scary. And the wearing of the mask, people could encourage Stanford to do more testing. That would be a big help. I've told a couple of the legislators and commissioners yesterday mm-hmm. how important that was.
So wear the masks and talk to
hospitals that do testing. Yes.
Okay.
Encourage them, because that's huge, because then you can figure out, and like in a little hospital like over in Thief River, you know, those nurses can be one day, depending on the size of your hospital, one, they could be taking care of a COVID patient one day and delivering a baby the next.
Mm.
I'm not sure. I think Bemidji has like 10 ICU beds. Well, those could fill up really fast.
Right.
And then they'll be all over the hospital.
So. It's a lot to wrap our heads around as it does kind of keep encroaching in rural Minnesota. We are seeing the numbers rise every day.
Yeah. Yeah, one county, it was like zero a week or so ago, and now the last was 14. You know, yeah, and the thing is once it gets started, it starts to do this doubling, you know, kind of thing. And so I can't stress enough that this cannot get political, that it needs to be looked at from a public health and public safety standpoint, and that one side or the other is not saying, oh, we don't want to go back to business as usual, but we want to do it responsibly, you know, to protect each other is kind of what the nurses would be pleading the public to do.
Well, thank you, Mary. We are promoting mask wearing here at the radio station very regularly. So,
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for all you're doing out there.
All right.
That's Mary Turner. She's a president of the Minnesota Nurses Association.